May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. So, watching my son, who is six, his name is Asher, watching Asher learn to swim has been one of the most rewarding, but also one of the more stressful experiences of parenting. A few years ago, we were at the pool with some family members, and his cousins were there, and they're all tweens, so they're 10, 11, 12 years old, and Asher watched in amazement as his cousins would get wound up, take a running start, jump into the pool, and land in the middle of an inner tube. That was the game. So they would run, jump, and then try to get themselves right in the middle of the inner tube. And he was about 3 years old, and developmentally, he hadn't had that fear thing kick in yet. And so I'm sitting next to him at the pool, we're watching, and before I can even make sense of what is going on, Asher is running toward the pool, jumping in and trying to hit the inflatable. Well, needless to say, he did hit the inflatable, but then he immediately started sinking down. And so in my full set of clothes with my phone in my pocket, I did what any parent would do, and I jumped in after him, grabbed him out. It was fine, he was fine, but it was definitely a stressful moment. And one of the things that was the byproduct of that incident was that this kid who had, you know, grown to be sort of confident with the water, maybe a little too confident, suddenly had these reservations about getting in the pool because it was enough to scare him out of thinking he was invincible. And so many months after that were spent paying for swim lessons and trying to get him in a lot of ways to be more confident in the water and to believe that he could overcome this fear. And the interesting thing is that I think a lot of us, even as adults, have these experiences where we mess up or we fail or something goes wrong, and then we're convinced we can never do that thing again, right? We think our fate is sealed. But at any rate, a few months after this incident at the pool, we started taking him to swim lessons at a place called Bear Paddles over in Oakley. And we really had the hope and the intention that taking these lessons would help him, as I said, to build up his level of confidence in the water. So for about the first 2 months, the whole objective was to get him to put his mouth in the water and blow bubbles. And I'm thinking, wow, I'm paying $75 to watch him blow bubbles in the water. Nonetheless, he did make slow and steady progress. He went from being able to blow bubbles to being able to put his head underwater, and then without assistance, he could move from point A to point B in the pool. And now, this is like 3 years later, I'm really glad to say we have a very confident swimmer on our hands. So the whole process of watching him learn to swim has been emotional for me, but the day that really stood out was the day that he learned to float on his back. And I actually have a photo of it at the house and one in my office. And it's he's got his swim instructor standing next to him in the water. And he's got this look of pride and amazement, but also kind of like, I didn't know I could do this, where he's laying back. And she's there to spot him if he needs it, but he doesn't because he has learned how to let himself release into the water, how to float. So it was a beautiful thing to watch. And what I realized in that process was floating is a lot less about skill and strength, and it's a lot more mental. For those who have learned to float in the water, the more stressed out you get about whether you can float or not, the more likely you are to not be able to float. It's one of those weird paradoxes. So the reality with floating is that we need to release ourselves and to trust that the water will hold us. We have to, in a sense, bypass our logical brain and get to a place of deep bodily embodied
trust in the water. We have to quiet the voice in our head that tells us that, I need help, or that's trying to cling on to the person or the raft or whatever it is. And somehow we have to believe that to remain still is actually the thing that will save our lives in that moment. So as I said, I was grateful that I was able to snap a picture of Asher floating for the first time, and he was so proud and somewhat in disbelief, and it kind of got me thinking about how in this very sort of anxious world that we live in, where many times we feel like it's almost a rat race to kind of get to where we're going, it's this amazing thing just to say, I'm gonna stay still. I'm not gonna put all my effort into trying to get ahead or trying to move forward. So floating, in a sense, gives us this deeper trust that it's not always about forward motion, but sometimes it's just about trusting in the goodness of our Creator and trusting that we will be held in the water. There's a poet named Lucy Mitchell, and she has a poem called Learning to Float, which I learned about as I prepared for this sermon. And this is what she said in the end of her poem. She said, I think I am invincible until I find myself beyond the waves and above the swell. And I realize I have been swimming most of my life, but I'm only now learning to float. I have been swimming most of my life, but I'm only now learning to float. So people often ask me as a priest and pastor, and I wonder if you get these questions too, people will say, is there any use for scripture these days? It's been used to harm people. Some of the stories, we can't necessarily make sense of them. Is there any use for the scripture? And then I hear a story like this morning's story of Peter, Jesus saying, come. Peter takes a step out onto the water. He's seized by fear and anxiety. And what happens? He begins to sink. And it's such a human story. And I don't think the point of this gospel is for us to say, oh, Peter really missed the mark. He you know, what a goofball. I think the point of this story is for us to understand that no matter what happens, right next to us is this loving, wonderful God who will see to it that we are protected and that we are safe. So just like my son Asher in the beginning, while he was learning to float, Peter can't make sense of the fact, perhaps, that all he needs to do is trust and have faith, and that he doesn't necessarily need to get caught up in the what-if scenarios or the panicking state of mind. And I think this story, in a way, it encourages all of us to take stock of those things in our lives, those anxieties and those fears that prevent us from just being able to float, just being able to trust in the peaceful presence of our Creator. There's an interesting thing that we also take away from this story, and for me, it's this reality that every time, or most of the time at least, when we encounter Jesus and he's teaching and he's preaching and he's out in the world among his followers, it's very rare that we find him in a very calm kind of quotidian scene. It's much more the case that when we encounter Jesus, we find him in the midst of a crowd or in the midst of the chaos and the craziness of life. There's a commentator named Carla Works, and she talks about this text that we heard, and she says, this story is meant to reveal who Jesus is. And she says, the revelation of who Jesus is is only possible in the midst of the chaos. And she goes on to say, if Jesus had not invited his disciples to embark on this uncertain journey, they would have missed the opportunity to see Jesus at work in their midst. So I wonder what situation in your life has moved you beyond kind of the shallow waters and into what the poet calls the swell. And I wonder, as you think about those circumstances in life or those seasons in life when you have been sort of out a little bit past your comfort zone, is there a way that you have seen God working in that chaos or in that craziness? And in this world where the instruction we seem to get seems to be swim harder or go faster, is there a way that God is calling you into floating? And how can you respond to that invitation? Because the truth is, for all of us, sinking and swimming is par for the course, and we won't get through life without being a little bashed around by the water. But yet, what we are promised and what is affirmed in the story today is that no matter what we face, no matter what kind of waves and swells we should interact with, the truth is that Jesus is there and he is next to us, and he is inviting us in a sense to say, you are safe. I've got you. That is a beautiful thing. So as you enter into your week, whether it be calm or chaotic, I pray that you are given space to float. In Jesus' name, amen.